Hi, folks. Welcome back to the latest Mountain West Wire football podcast. We are nearing the end. Shh, don't tell people. Week 12 recap here, where there were a couple blowouts, a couple of very surprised results, and a new team is at the bottom of the standings, which I inadvertently cut out on Twitter, Josh, and people don't seem to care except for like one person.
That's just because they want to make fun of them, which I don't see a problem with.
Yeah. So go to MWR.com to check out all the stuff we do. We got our previews up. I did something on the power rankings. Well, that will come out later. But the somehow weirdness of who's going to be in the title game, we'll attempt to explain a little bit on this show and more on next show when we get to the actual games. Let's just say plug in your computer, your old dial-up AOL CD to see what happens, because that's what we need possibly to figure out who's in the championship game. Because the Mountain West, Josh, likes to change their tiebreaker rules and make them weird and not super smart.
They do it every year. They did it after the Fresno Boise debacle, and then you or Matt said they basically went back to what they did before.
I don't know. What do you mean? Like with the computer rankings or what?
Yeah, because they changed it up, didn't they? What did they change? Do you remember what they changed it to?
I don't remember.
This is probably for the next show. But...
Yeah. What do you mean, like? Changing the order, the formula, or the order of tiebreaker?
Or something, because remember, because it was Fresno beat Boise in Boise, or was it in Fresno?
It was in Fresno. They had to go to Boise.
And then they had to go play Boise at Boise.
I don't remember what the changes were, but I know it went on the computer ratings, even though it was a head-to-head. They just don't need to. They don't circle back around to the top. We'll get that later. We'll talk some games. We'll talk about it at the end because it's weird and I don't recall it to change. Maybe we'll find it here in the next couple of days because it's a short week, Thanksgiving week, so we'll probably do our preview earlier so people have time to listen.
We'll probably do it Wednesday or something.
Yeah, we'll mess with it down there. We'll see. All right, Wyoming 42, Hawaii 9. I like that snark because that's about what this whatever that was because that's a good result, good response.
Where the hell is this Wyoming? Like, is Hawaii this bad? Or is this the Wyoming team that's finally been predicted for the past 5 years?
Well, as we mentioned in our group chat at some point, I think you or Jesse mentioned, hey, Bulls airing it out. Well, yes and no. Andrew Peasley only threw the ball 17 times for 319 yards.
Hey, I mean, it works. I mean, well, so Jesse said that, and I was at the CSU game, so I checked the box score. At the time he said it, he had only thrown three passes, one for 89, one for 44, and one for 11. So, and two of those were for touchdowns.
He hit three total. John Michael Gillenborg, excellent name, did well. I don't know. Like, Harrison Whaley showed up. This game... It was just like, when's the last time? I should check. When's the last time Wyoming scored 35 points in a game?
Does Texas Tech count?
If they score that many points, it definitely does.
Yeah, it's Texas Tech. No, excuse me. It was New Mexico. They've done it three times this year. Texas Tech, New Mexico, and this one.
Did you know they're also undefeated at home this year?
Yep, 7-0.
We're on the road, people. What's the deal? Like, they are, I don't know what this team is, man. They're inconsistent. Like, Hawaii is that bad. Schrager had to throw a million times this game. They can't run the ball, which we've known all year. Stephen McBride did the best he could for 103 yards, but there is nothing that could be done for Hawaii against his defense. Could have been, like, this is dumb. I hate this. Oh, okay, I got some stats for you, too. This is awesome. I forgot about this. Could it be Hawaii playing an early kick time for them?
Because it kicked off at noon.
Noon Mountain Time.
So was that 6 Hawaii time?
Then they'll time change to 7 Hawaii time. Early morning, regardless. Because They typically don't play this type of game. They're obviously, at home, they play 5 to 6 p.m. at home. When they play on the road, they're usually maybe a 3:30 Pacific kick, possibly. Usually 7, 8 p.m. kick. So I wonder that. So in this game, have you looked at the team stats? Going to ask you some questions here that are interesting.
I have.
Ah, okay. So we'll let people know. Okay, I'm surprised. Wyoming only had 6 third downs. Did they complete any? No. Hawaii was 10 for 20 on third down. That is wild. It was only plus one turnover margin. This secondary for Hawaii is just brutal. Like, they couldn't do anything to stop these deep passes. Wyoming comes out, touchdown. Easy touchdown, two touchdowns, like, in flat. One play, 89 yards. The other one, like you mentioned before, how quickly they scored. I think the answer is, Josh Hawaii is that bad.
Cool. CSU's going to ball in the...
You sure? You confident about that?
No.
Ah!
The CSU team, no.
Where's that game at? Is that Hawaii?
It's at Hawaii.
Hmm. Yeah, they should win. They should be fine.
They're 6-point favorites.
So we'll see. I don't know. There's not much to say. Hawaii's terrible. They can't run the ball. Brandon Shager's an okay quarterback. Steve McBride's a really good receiver. Their defense, they did get four sacks, which is pretty amazing in this game in 6 TFL. So they did get after Peasley just enough, but there is nothing. Kawhi's just 35-0 game was over. Like, this is over by halftime. So there's not much more to say besides Wyoming. Good job. I think Wyoming season comes down to beating up on bad teams. And then when they play anybody who's really good, they don't seem to do much. Texas, they lose, which they played well with. Air Force, Boise, and UNLV.
Well, they played Nevada next week, so they're going 8-4.
Yeah, 8-4 bowl game. All right, what do we got next year?
CSU Nevada.
Oh, man. Brandon is like, just get rid of everybody. They did score 20 points. So what about this game?
To be fair, the defense did 7 of that.
Okay, 13 points offensively then, but 20 total. So good job, Ken Wilson defense. Brandon's like this. Bianco, what, he threw two interceptions on the first cup, two drives or something before he got benched?
No, he didn't get benched. He got hurt.
Oh.
He got hit hard.
Oh, I thought somebody. Oh, I just thought he left the game. I assumed just benching because, you know, Nevada's not very good at football.
No, I didn't see the exact hit. I just saw the aftermath a little bit. It's the play where Kamara got his unsportsmanlike conduct.
Oh, okay.
He was either jawing with 70, who I think is the left tackle, or he said something to the ref. I don't know. But, like, this game was, like, it was chippy. Like, on both sides. Like, and so Torrey Horton is normally, like, the, like, quiet and reserved type of guy. Like, he can get up when needed. But this is the most animated I've ever seen him. Like, he was talking, like, to the point where the refs had to step in and tell him to go back to the sideline.
Go sit down, bro. Yeah. So, with that, like, what led to that? Was he just frustrated, or what was his situation?
I think it was just the talk, because he likes Norvell.
Okay.
His parents love him.
Okay.
So I think it was just he was tired of the talk coming out of that camp and wanted to show, like, hey, I'm here for my coach. You're not gonna talk down to him.
He had a good game. He had a long reception, scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
But, like, Nevada, they just
let me put it this way.
It's hard to explain this team.
I said that CSU. I told Justin Michael of DMVR Rams that CSU should have covered this comfortably. CSU cannot, and he said this on his Twitter page too. CSU can't get out of their own way. They let Nevada think they had a chance when they really shouldn't have had a chance at all.
I know, kidding. They only went by 10 points. It was 20-13 at halftime, and then it was pretty even the second half. Like, what if Nevada made that field goal they missed? Like, you know what I mean? That was a 50 yarder just about. That's pretty hard. That's close enough. Sorry, 43 yarder. Brandon Talton can make that, but if he makes that field goal, you never know.
This is a 1-point game at that point.
It'd be tied. Yeah,
maybe.
No, it'd be tied at that point.
It would have been 21-20.
The final?
What did I think it was?
I'm using ESPN's box score here, so it could be problems. Oh, yeah,
you're probably right. I for some reason, I thought it was like 21-20.
No, it's 23-20. Then CSU went down and scored after that in quick fashion, 6 plays. 2 minutes. But you're right. Like, there's a situation in this game where, yeah, they get the pick six and the half. That's a problem. That's, like, if they don't, whatever, it doesn't matter if they get this or that. But Nevada's not good, and I don't know what Ken Wilson's going to do. But CSU, it's like when I was there at Vegas, like, they played prevent defense. They held UNLV just enough, but then when it mattered, they let them move down the field with relative ease.
This game, they just couldn't. Like, they were getting at, like, the thing CSU didn't contain well in this game. They allowed Brandon Lewis to get out and run They allowed, they weren't, there was a lot of comebacker outs, but there was also a lot of just losing their man. And that's what was able to, that was what was really keeping Nevada in this game, was Brandon Lewis being able to escape pressure and find guys downfield. And that was the one good thing that I saw from the Nevada receivers, is they kept going. Like, they were breaking off routes. They were coming back to the ball, so they were able to keep the offense running a little bit. They just couldn't finish.
Score touchdowns. Don't settle for field goals. Because it's also, you're right, like on third down, 4 of 11.
Nevada was 5 of 16.
I know.
4 of 11 sees you.
Yeah, no, that's what I said. Yeah, I'm saying if you say finish stuff on offense.
Yeah, but that's true.
It's they're plus one. It's a win. Guess what? The CSU team, okay, I get what you're saying, where they need to finish games, which they should, but they're also a team that's still kind of trying to figure things out to be a pretty good football team or trying to get there. So if this were to be the case next year, I'd have more concern. They do what they're supposed to do and beat a bad team. Should they beat them by more? Yeah, don't have a pick six.
Yeah.
That's 7 points there.
That was a miscommunication. That wasn't on anyone.
Well, I'm just saying, that is an issue though. You know what I mean? Like if you run the wrong route or something. I'm not saying it's a bad throw, but if somebody doesn't know the play, well, gotta figure that out. But that's a bit. Like defense played fine, 10 TFLs, 4 sacks. Like they're gonna have the quarterback and everything. And you mentioned Lewis does run pretty well, so that's always a concern for most teams, but they get a win. All you care about is getting one more than go to the bowl game and playing some random MAC team in Idaho.
We're based on projections, it's probably New Mexico or Frisco.
Yeah,
if it happens.
I just like to make the joke about going to Idaho. It'd probably be Boise.
That's like CSU fans will boycott if that happens.
Hey, you could get a win on the blue turf for once. Oh, sorry, too soon.
No, we don't want to go through an ice bowl again.
Yeah, I remember that one.
That skates again.
That game, I remember that, man. That game was brutal. Was that versus BYU? Was that the game?
No, it was Idaho.
Oh, okay. The Vandals, okay. Yeah, odds are, I'll do bowl projections probably in the morning. Boise, I think they're probably going to Idaho Bowl unless they win the conference. Just because their record just obviously so-so.
Yeah.
For the most part. All right, next game. What do we got here? Let's go to
UNLV Air Force.
Oh, boy. UNLV versus Air Force. This game, 31-27 the final. UNLV wins. And as we're talking about championships implications, if they win, they're basically in no matter what. They are in no matter. If they win, they clinch. So getting this game avoids a lot of fewer tiebreaker situations, because if it would have been an Air Force win, they both have 2 losses, it would have been crazy. But
if Air Force had won, I think Air Force would have been in automatically.
I think because it had – well, they still had to play Boise, so no.
Look, so
– clinch maybe? One or two? I'm trying to think.
So it would be Air Force at 6-1 and UNLV at 5-2.
No, Air Force –
It would still be the same 4 teams. If San Jose State had beaten UNLV, then UNLV would have been out.
Gotcha.
If Boise had beaten Air Force – then it would have been a 3-way tie between Air Force, Boise, and San Jose State, and we'd still be in the same situation we are now.
Hmm. Okay. I gotcha. It's all crazy. Yeah. But with this particular game, that second quarter, like Air Force getting up big, like they scored 20 in the second quarter. They were up, I'm trying to pull the exact difference, 14-7, 24-7. If UNLV doesn't get that late touchdown, they'd be in trouble. Like that was a good comeback drive because they got the kickoff. Obviously, they had to go 75 full yards. They, what was that penalty? Not penalty that hurt them, but they moved the ball well enough going down the field with Maeva. But if they didn't get that touchdown, that they may not win that game. I know they recovered nicely and scored on the ensuing kickoff, and they forced a couple punts. Like in the first half, it looked doom and gloom for the Rebels.
Yeah,
they didn't seem to be moving the ball well enough. And Air Force, despite them going with multiple quarterbacks because of injuries for Zach, Zach Lair does not play, and obviously, so they put in. They have Jensen Jones typically. Yeah, John Bush and Brandon Engel all going in there and throw passes. Dylan Carson kind of came out of nowhere for a pretty big game. They still ran what they typically did, but Rebels couldn't run the ball, which is unfortunate. Jet Thomas didn't have a good game. Maya led the team in rushing. Then we had the random Doug Brumfield appearance, that 13-yard play. I'm like, what's going on here? Brumfield's in the game. Was that because, I'm trying to recall, did Maya's helmet come off or something? Did they bring him in for one play or something? Trying to remember.
It must have. I didn't see it, so that must have been what happened.
I was watching, because I watched this one late last night. I was trying to remember. I think it was like a hit. Maybe it's like a big hit and they took him out for just a moment. I'm like, oh, Brumfield can do a few things. But man, Ricky White. I have a vote for the Blitnikoff. Not to brag much, but I do. So I'm voting. So. Should I put.
How many people can you do?
10. Should I put Ricky White? But I think I put Ricky White in my top 10.
Ricky's got to be there.
I think I did. Maybe I can pull my ballot real quick. Because actually send it back to me. Usually they don't. But I was looking at those numbers. I'm like, he has been playing extremely well. He had the huge long play. He had the touchdown, obviously. But the difference in this game was, at least Air Force didn't have as many turnovers. Like, what were they, minus 10 the past two games or something?
Something like that.
They were ridiculously bad. And so they only had the one in this game, which was helpful. The one fumble, I believe. Yeah, one fumble. And the Rebels had two turnovers, also two fumbles on their own end. But it was a matchup where I'm, okay, UNLV in second half, like, they must have done something to stop Air Force. Because Air Force, I don't know why Air Force is rolling out different quarterbacks to throw the ball. Not great. And I wonder if that was a weird thing just to throw UNLV off or something. Because it kind of worked. For UNLV,
also ran a fake punt at one point.
Oh, that was perfect, that pass. That was amazing.
When did that happen?
Oh, wait,
I see it. It's in the third quarter. Or fourth quarter.
Did they score a touchdown off that one? Yeah, they must have. Or was it a field goal?
Field goal.
Field goal, yeah. But that fake punt was perfection. The guy literally, like, it ran a good play. And Air Force, the thing about that, Air Force is ready for it with their punt, with their kind of the safe defense, they called it. He throws the ball where the guy's supposed to be. Besides it being a good spiral, it was just one guy versus like two to three Air Force defenders because they kind of closed on him. It was thrown high enough where I don't think they would have cared if it got intercepted because where they're at in the field, like whatever, just throw the ball and see what happens. But he made a good enough spiral and the guy is right in the spot where it's supposed to be. I think he's throwing that ball there no matter what happened because he was covered reasonably well. But it worked, and they got points out of it. So why can't Air Force win these games this year?
Do you have any? I think Calhoun got desperate because he went. So I hate ESPN because their timeline messes up, so I don't know how much time was left on the clock.
Yeah, I hate that too sometimes. I use it.
Second and goal on UNLV's 8, and they run for no gain.
Are you talking about end of the game or what?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And then they pass two straight times. Why would you not attempt a run again? Like, you're Air Force. That's what you do.
I could see. I'd pass on second and flip it.
Yeah.
But you're at third and eight. Because here's the thing: with your fourth and goal at the eight, they know you're passing, right? If it's third and goal, run it again. You're right. Run it, maybe throw a fourth down. But if say you run and get fourth and goal at the four, you could do either, and it would probably be pretty good play. But when you're 8 yards out, odds of you running, even if you're Air Force, are pretty low. So that was maybe Thiessen or Calhoun overthinking it, possibly. And maybe it could be they don't trust the quarterbacks to run their offense efficiently.
That could be it, too. Yeah.
Because that's part of it, but I think part of it, in this game, UNLV just kind of figured something out in the second half to get the fake point you mentioned, field goal. Both those drives were super long, and Air Force couldn't do anything. They had their first four possessions were punt and a fumble. Their second half, they were shut out. They got no points. Yeah. Punt, 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 fumble, punt, turnover on downs. They just couldn't move the ball. And UNLV, being a good team they are, did things and changed in second half. Because Air Force, I wish I had to split. I wonder if Stat Broadcast has a split. So I don't want to look it up, but first half, second half is what obviously way different for Air Force being efficient running the ball. Despite for the game, they do what they typically do with 300-plus yards and three touchdowns.
Yeah.
No big plays, and that's how you beat this defense. You don't let them get 10, 15, 20-yard rushing plays. So that's that. So Air Force still has it. No, they do not have a chance. I apologize. Every team with two losses have a chance. Boise State 45, Utah State 10. What are the Aggies doing? And Aggies have one of the worst injury situations of all season, the quarterback. Every week, Hillstead gets hurt. Legault gets hurt. Legault is our starter. Why Hillstead recovers from a concussion? No, we're switching again. They even brought.
They were one player passing away from the clinch.
Dude, Levi Williams came in 2 for 5. Man, George Solani with his best game in a long time.
Hey, the record still stands. George Solani gets over 100 yards. Boise State's undefeated.
Yeah, Ashton Gentry had 85 and a TD. Taylor Green, not good. Not needed also, right?
Well, that's the thing is, like, with Taylor Green, like, I think Avalos was trying to make Taylor Green something he isn't, which is Taylor Green is a better runner than he is a thrower, but he has an okay arm. You need to use him as a true dual threat quarterback, which is what I don't know if Spencer Danielson was calling the plays or if their OC was or not. But like this, the game plan was executed perfectly as far as I could tell.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
All right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Yeah, like he kept to be more efficient during the ball for what he was. He was, what, 9 of 8 of 17? But Utah, the second quarter, Utah State, like they got their butt kicked. They gave up 31 points in a quarter. That's hard to do.
Well, they also had like 4 turnovers, so that's not.
Oh, I'm just saying. And Utah State also, they're leading 10-0 in this game. Oh, man, that is brutal. Yeah, they had the fumble, turnover on downs, and try to be aggressive at the 2-yard line.
Well, that's what was hilarious to me is like they were up 10-0 at the start of the second quarter. They were shutting down Boise first quarter. So, What like did they just fall apart or just like Boise just find a gap or something?
Well, the turnover thing you mentioned, but also short fields. The one was 22 yards or 20 was 25 yards short. Then they had the two big plays, the two big Hawaii runs. And we ran 4 times, like Genty and him. Like then they fumble, turnover, punt. The Boise scores 8.5, and Utah State first game get all punt. Like it's just turnover city. And I get it; they're changing quarterbacks due to injuries all year long and all week long. But they had something figured out in the first quarter, and then they just kept losing the ball in the second quarter, where they had the false start penalty pushing back. You had the Robert Briggs fumble. You have the turnover on downs. They started fine, and then they like, whoa, what are we doing? And there's nothing to say. When you give up 31 points, there's nothing to say. You just got crushed. They couldn't move the ball on third down. They were obviously -4 in turnover margin. Boise had an amazing running game, and Boise was not even good on third down. They only had 5 of 14. That's not good.
Boise had 9 sacks.
Yeah. Like, well, you play all the different quarterbacks, it's bound to happen, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So How hilarious would it be if Boise were to win the conference after they fired their coach midseason?
It'd be funny if they brought Harsin back, too.
They cannot bring Harsin back.
Hey, there's stuff floating around out there.
They would be... It's not a coach's show, but bringing coaches back a second time around usually doesn't go well.
Fresno State?
That's an exception. There's a lot more John Robinsons than Jeff Tedford's.
Yeah, I know.
So, I don't know, man. It's their defense stepped up at a huge day. Like, you had Ty Benfield and DJ Schramm and Ahmed Hassan, 2.5 sacks each. Simpson, 2 sacks. They just crushed it. TFLs. They just beat the crap out of Utah State.
Well, I think some of it had to do with Razul Faison got hurt in this game, too. So one of their main running backs got hurt, and you know, they had to lean heavily on.
Yeah, but Devon Booth had, but he had 125 yards.
Yeah, but he's the only other person. They have,
yeah, I know, Briggs. One, two,
three, four. They had 7 people on the stat sheet. Only one of them had above 17 yards.
I know. I'm just saying, and one guy still did pretty well. And 3 of those were quarterbacks who ran the ball as well.
Sure.
Levi Williams, and McKay Hill.
Well, that is what is more amazing to me. So, in college, they count sacks against rushing yards.
Mm-hmm.
McKay Hillstead is the only one with a negative yardage.
Despite having 9 sacks? Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. So,
it's a good point.
I think it's just turnovers killed them because they had 2 interceptions, 2 fumbles. So, it's just... When one of those interceptions was a wide receiver pass, too.
Yeah,
so.
Did Blake Anderson try whatever he can?
Yeah.
Whatever he can. All right, next game. So.
Do we want to save this one for last?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Let's do
San Jose State, San Diego State.
Who put money on Aztecs to be the worst team in the conference this year? Anybody?
If you did, you're a damn liar.
It's like the one guy, I forget who it is, Tyler Bischoff at Vegas Radio, ESPN something in Las Vegas. We know him a little bit from doing stuff before. But like, he pointed out the one guy who had the one first place vote for UNLV. I'm like, they're a liar, or they're drunk and filled out their ballot wrong. But
well, wasn't it Tyler, or was it?
No, he pointed out who it was. I forget on Twitter.
Okay,
because there was somebody brought that back up. I'm like, yeah, I was curious what the preseason projections were by the team people that cover the team. And I'm like, okay, and they're like 8th or something.
Yeah.
But this game, the funny thing is. Okay, 2 things. Kyrie Robinson, dude, come on. What's going on? Only 40 yards?
And no catches either.
I had a touchdown, so that's good. But the thing is, funny thing is, Aztecs had a rushing game. Jalen Armstead had a huge day with over 130 yards in that touchdown, that long run. They were just couldn't move the ball enough to score. And it's like, this is a game Aztecs typically you would think would win in the past, where San Jose State scoring 24 points is pretty good to hold them that few points. They had a good running attack, but the problem is, look at the big old INT mark for Jalen Maeda had 2. Just looking kind of at the basic numbers, this is a game where you would think, oh, Aztecs could kind of win. But, and they even scored points off their own turnovers. And San Jose State didn't even score points off turnovers. So it's not as if those turnovers were the points either. They just killed drives, and they couldn't score off of them. But they're actually plus 3 points in the turnover margin for points scored, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But it just stops.
Here it is. So Jalen Armstead, I don't know what happened with it, because he got – this game was a quarter of his total yards for the year. Did he finally find something to break out, or is like – he just been holding back on everyone.
I don't know. I don't think it's a health thing if he's been hurt or anything. But he got the most carries of anybody by far. I'm not entirely sure, but it looked good running the ball. That's what they needed. Like, they spread the ball around. Like, going 15 to 24 is maybe a little bit better. But they ran him well, but Maeda just didn't get it done. And that was a problem. And then San Jose State only had 1 sack, a handful of TFLs. But Actually, the other side of it, Aztecs didn't get enough pressure on Shavon Cordero. No sacks in this game. So that's a thing if you get after him. No, the one interception where I think they did score a touchdown off it, right? If I'm correct? Yes, they had the field goal, sorry. But I do like the aggressiveness in that first drive. They get the ball. They're down 10-7. They're up 10-7. They allow the score 10-7 at halftime, And then they go turnover on downs. I'm fine with it.
Maybe it's just because the players aren't used to Ryan Lindley yet, or he's not used to them.
It's a full season, like, man.
I'm just saying it can take more than a year. Just because, like, if you just look at the team stats, like, this wasn't it doesn't seem like San Diego State played that bad, but they did. I mean, they were 7-6 on third down, 3-4 on fourth down. They were only outgained by 55 yards, barely any penalties, and they dominated time of possession. So it's like something happened on offense, like play calling, whether they don't have the talent or something. Like something has to give.
Turnover on downs, one, and then the second half didn't go well. Clearly, the second half was garbage. Turnover on downs, interception. Their field goal took like half a quarter, 8 minutes, and interception. They only had two good drives in the second half, and one was a field goal, one ended up being an interception.
Yeah.
So they completed a 3rd and 12. They go for it on they go for it on 4th and 1, where Armstead had one of these huge big runs. They just offense just it's not good, and they can't do a complete game on offense. Even though it's just kind of the two half. Even the first half when they played better, they only scored 10 points. So I don't know. It's a Spartans are Spartans could be Josh, they can come back if things work out extremely well for them. If the computers really liked them, they win next week. My preseason thing of watch Spartans to the title game could be a thing at 7-5. They should be better than what they are. All right, last game. We're going backwards. New Mexico 25, Fresno State 17. What the hell is going on here?
We talked about this before we started, but I'm going to ask it now.
That's okay. Do it.
So 25-17. That's the final score. How close do you think the yardage should be in that type of score?
If I'm being generous, because I know it's going to be a wide margin, because I saw how well the Mexico ran the ball, I would say if it's not close, like I know it's your senior, if I want to be kind of think what it should be,
I'm not asking you to guess. Like,
no, I know. It probably honestly should be within 75 yards. 100 if I want to be like, ooh, that's weird.
New Mexico outgained
250
by nearly 300 yards.
300 yards, wow. Wow. Their quarter.
This is New Mexico's Fresno State win over Arizona State.
Yeah.
Well, all right, to be fair, New Mexico had like three long 90-yard touchdown drives.
Hey, man, they were plus one. They were better on third down. They were terrible and penalized a million times. Like, this game, Fresno's rush defense was terrible. Or rush off, yeah, because Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, 200 yards.
And they were averaging 7 yards a carry.
Yeah, they were killing them. And they only got a couple sacks. That doesn't change if you want to take that away. It's not many yards. But it was that, and they also had how many big passing plays? Like Caleb Medford had that 46-yarder, and Jeremiah Hicks had a pretty big play. Like they were not even efficient throwing the ball, but they had a couple enough big plays, and Hopkins had two picks, so it's not like he was doing. I mean, he's doing his best to keep them out of the game.
Yeah.
So it's Fresno's rush defense was just abysmal, and Logan Fyth and Keen got switched around. They didn't do anything either. They were just terrible. Like, I don't know what offensive. What was Tedford calling offensively here? There's nothing going on besides like that Jalen Moss 53-yarder. That was about it all game.
I would say that. Yeah, that was about it. I mean, they had one 26-yarder to Magdalena, but other than that, not much.
This is a team. Like, Fresno's falling off big time. They lost, got their just crushed San Jose State last week. Not even close. I don't know. Like, what's been going on the past 2 weeks? Like, I don't understand.
The offense resting on their laurels?
The offense has just been terrible the past 2 weeks. And then there was a weird I don't know. We'll get that in a minute. But they just, like, are the quarterbacks healthy? Because I know they had to switch out when Keene wasn't 100%. But Logan Fife has usually been reasonably competent, above competent when he plays.
Who knows?
I do like the foot we mentioned before, the Bailey. It's like, had that interception done something, that would have been a difference in the game. You have Lavelle Bailey intercept the ball, make a huge play, look like he might score. He gets stripped from behind, and yep. Mexico gets the ball back.
Yeah, but then they turn it back right back over 5 plays later.
Yeah, but the first just had a chance to score right there.
Yeah, that is true.
So what was that? I'm looking at the interception that they punted it 3 plays later. But the thing is, New Mexico goes back and scores a touchdown. If I'm looking at that right spot, let me double check here. No, maybe that's not it. Hold on. When was that interception? I'm trying to look and see what happened. Second half.
If you're looking at the ESPN one.
Yeah, which I probably shouldn't ever, and I say my state every time.
It's New Mexico end of half. Do you see that?
Yeah. It's
the fumble 2 1s down.
Oh, the fumble one. Okay. I was trying to see. Because I was looking at long description there.
Yeah, so it's end of half New Mexico, Fresno State punt, New Mexico fumble, interception. That's where it
okay, happens. Start of the first half, second half. But still, they get the interception back, but then Fresno punt, so for any chance they had, that probably did it in because they didn't score anything until the end of the game with the field goal. This is just the Fresno defense getting their butt kicked, like running the ball, whatever's going on with Danny Gonzalez is probably good. Now he's 4-7. Like, he's not getting the boot, is he? He's sticking around.
Yeah, I don't think after these past 2 weeks, I don't see him.
They may handle Fresno State. I don't know, but they have Boise State. Like, they've been getting
– Sorry, I thought it was something else.
No. Yeah. They got beat bad. Then they get a win who a team they probably shouldn't have. But then again, Danny Gonzalez, he beat Fresno State in the end of 2020 as well. Remember that? Like, he's beaten them a couple times.
This could just be a case of because remember, New Mexico has this – New Mexico is weirdly good against the good teams, but very – bad against the bad teams. Like, they have they're 500 against Craig Bowl. You just said they beat Fresno State.
I'm checking wins and beat real quick. Yeah, the second time under Danny Gonzalez.
So they could just, like, I don't maybe it's just a New Mexico thing. Like, it's the land of enlightenment or something.
It's a chance.
Maybe they get enlightened a couple times here.
Yeah, because when they played Fresno, I'm just double checking Wikipedia. Oh my goodness! Let me check real quick. Yeah, well, he's 2-2 because it was in the 2020 year. Then Isaiah Chavez, a quarterback, the local kid, went. So yeah, but if you want, these scores are hilarious. So New Mexico has won 49-39, then 25-17, and then the two losses 34-7 and 41-9. And also, sorry, I apologize. That was a Bob Davie New Mexico team in 2020. My mistake.
Oh.
But still,
Bob Davie was still there in the pandemic. I thought he got fired 2019.
That's what Wikipedia said. I'm going to double check now because I didn't think that was right. Now I'm going crazy. Let me Google this here, folks. Because I was thinking, wasn't Danny the coach at that point? So Bob Davie. Yeah, he was gone. Wikipedia is incorrect. Should we email Wikipedia and say, hey, guys, fix this?
It's not as bad as USA Rugby.
Oh, okay. Fair point. I can see that. But, like, so what do we, like, seriously, but they beat Fresno. Does that save his job for another year?
I mean, this is the most wins he's had as a coach, so maybe.
And they play Utah State next week, and who knows with the Aggies. They get home on Friday night.
They get Utah State. They have a potential to go 5-7 and potentially make a bowl game.
Yeah.
There is a legitimate possibility with the deficit of 6-6 teams that New Mexico can make a bowl game.
Do I need to put a contingency in my bowl projections on Monday?
I mean, you might as well.
It's up to me, right? I write it so I can decide.
I mean, like, you can put an asterisk. Like, there is a legitimate chance New Mexico can make a bowl game this year.
Yeah.
And I don't think anyone saw that coming. Mm.
No, they're not going to, but they're improving. So, I
well, think... and then like we could, this is probably more for, this is probably a better tangent for the preview, but I mean, if New Mexico can do what they did against Fresno State, similar to how Boise State beat Utah State.
Yeah.
They like New Mexico's probably going bowling.
Interesting. Well, it'd be nice if they would, but the coaching season's going to be weird. There's no new updates to, on Boise State or San Diego State, from what I can tell. Unless you've seen any, you can enlighten me.
No, the only thing, the last thing I saw was the Football Scoop article.
Okay, for which team?
Boise State.
Okay, all right.
D3. Hold on, let me see if I can find it real quick.
I guess Harsin's a thing, apparently.
It was Harsin, Moore, and
which more, Kirby or Kellen?
Kellen.
Okay, no, not happening. The guy, some guy mentioned on Twitter, I'm going to respond. I'm like, no, he's not going there. We already said it. If Kellen Moore wants a job, he can get it yesterday. And I don't trust Troy Aikman to be the beacon of journalistic person to find info on that. So, whatever. If they listen, cool. Hi, what's up?
This article does mention Kirby, but doesn't explicitly state that he's a candidate.
He's been tossed around.
So, yeah, the three people mentioned in the Football Scoop article are the Moore brothers and Brian Harsin.
Ugh. Why aren't they going after Grubb, man? Come on. What's the deal? Hey, Lincoln Riley's in the hot seat, maybe. Do you want a new job soon? Let me ask you one question here before we go here. Are there, because it's next week is Thanksgiving week. It's not a stupid Thanksgiving topic. Last week of the season, we already have two coaches gone. By the time we recap next week, how many more coaches will be fired from the conference?
Pull up the standings real quick.
Is Timmy Ting safe? Yes or no?
Here's my
what? Thing. You're hesitating on Timmy Chang?
But I have to preface this because it's the same people who want to fire Jay Norvell. Same people. They want what did someone say about, someone said something a couple of weeks ago about Jay Norvell, about why the people want to fire him already. Oh, it's the instant ramen generation. And they keep, people bring up, CSU fans are bringing up UNLV success. Hey, they may be going to the conference championship in the first year. Well, do you not know the difference between what Timmy Chang had to take over, what Jay Norvell had to take over versus what Barry Odom had left in the cupboard versus the other team?
Yeah, or even Ken Wilson or Danny Gonzalez. Yeah.
Yeah, they're completely different situations. And, it's the same thing at TCU. Sonny Dykes walked into a fully stocked cupboard and took them to the national championship game.
Just different coach and look at things differently can make a big difference.
Yeah. So they're two completely different situations. I think you got to give Timmy another year.
Mm-hmm.
If I think based they're going 4-8 this year, maybe get it. Maybe 4-9, 5-8 depends on what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to give him another year just to, you got to completely get rid of all of the stuff that happened before him, even if you have players still.
You need to get the stink of Todd Graham off you.
CSU has to get the stink. Still has to get the stink of Steve Adazio.
Yeah,
and that's not to say anything bad about the players who are still there from that era. There's just so much
that they lost around it.
Yeah. So,
Nevada.
Yes.
Yes, he's gone or staying?
There's no difference. He lost 16 in a row. You can't do that. and show no signs of improvement. That's the thing that's the qualifier there is they lost 16 in a row, but the CSU at one point had the longest losing streak in America. Showing improvement. Nevada wasn't showing improvement.
Is there a famous celebrity who graduated from Nevada, Reno?
I can Google it real quick.
No, I didn't know. No, we don't need that. I was trying to look offhand. Point being, they need somebody to bring in some cash to get a good coach to help out. There's random politicians, a few basketball, football players.
The biggest person I know of is JaVale McGee.
Yeah, that's what. Oh man, not a football guy, hoops guy, obviously. I think he's gone. And I'm talking about next time we record. So is Barry, let me ask you real quick. Well, actually, Craig Bull, is he safe?
That one's tough. That one's tough.
Okay.
I mean, they're going to go 8-4 because they're not losing to Nevada. If they lose to Nevada, yes, Craig Bull gets fired.
Ooh, interesting.
Like, I'm sorry. If you lose to Nevada, you deserve to be fired. San Diego State.
Mm-hmm. No, see me. Retired. Get it straight. He retired.
In quotes.
I'm also looking at some interesting. I'm pulling, going through the college football because Craig Bull, he's doing quite well at home. Obviously, he is undefeated, 7-0 at home. They are the only team, as I'm scrolling, to be undefeated at home and winless on the road.
What is his record on the road? It's like 19-60 something.
It's not good. Closest team I could find is Eastern Michigan, who's 5-1 at home and 0-5 on the road. I'm looking. I think they are it. Yes, they're the only team to win every game at home and lose every game on the road. Congratulations, Cowboys. Don't screw it up this weekend wherever you're playing at. They're playing on the road, so beat Nevada and Reno, you're good to go. Last one. Is Barry Odom going to be the Rebels coach next year? I know I'm not saying next week. You think he's gone?
Yeah.
What type of job would he want to get? Because Northwestern's hiring from within. I don't think he's going to go. I know Syracuse opened up today. I don't know why he'd want to go to Syracuse. Because he's already kind of did that at Missouri. That type of typically historical level of program. Missouri's a touch higher, I'd say. But not by much.
So, the Mississippi State job. Jamie Chadwell is their top target.
Yeah, dude, you did it on Twitter?
The no context pick, yeah.
Yeah, so you say what happened, let people know.
He tweeted something about was it the coach's show?
Yeah, tune into the coach's show on Wednesday or something.
Oh, yeah, then he left his locations on. So he set the tweet from Starkville, Missouri.
Mississippi, so that's tough. I wonder, because Barry Odom, how old is he? I'm curious, too, because there is a case to be made to why not stick here and build something. Win a championship year one, what could year two bring?
46?
Oh, I thought he's way older. He's only 46?
Yeah.
When did he get the Missouri head coaching job?
2016. So he's 39.
Okay. Huh.
I mean, he's basically been Missouri. He played forever. In Missouri.
Yeah.
He was a high school assistant in Oklahoma for a year, but then he came back to Missouri. Then he was a GA, director of recruiting, director of something, DFP.
Yeah.
Safety, DC linebackers. Oh, he's DC linebackers for Memphis for a couple of years.
He came back, yeah.
Then came back, and yeah.
I wonder. Here's why I think he would stay at least one more year. With the playoff more ways to get in, that could obviously want him to stay if they win the conference. If he goes 11-2, big other jobs are going to come after him. I think for Tata's, if they want to do something, because we know our buddy Chris Hondrich, like, they got money there. It's like they'll pay and do stuff. Maybe they can pony up and keep him for at least another year and see what happens. Because there is no reason. Well, sorry, I should. Do you know when they vote for coach of the year? Is it before? Is it during the season or does it include postseason?
I think it's before.
Because the Home Depot Awards, right?
Yeah.
I don't think I have a vote for national coach of the year. I vote for other things. There is. Even if they're to include postseason, Georgia wins again. Yeah, give it to Kirby Smart. But there's, like, who has done a better job this year in college football? Like, turnaround. Like, when we look at turnaround and stuff. You have, Kellen DeBoer, Dan Lanning, maybe Jed Fish, Arizona. They're doing good things.
Yeah.
If they could sneak into the Pac-12 title game because there's still a possibility. Like, he's literally up there. Louisville, a little bit with, who's their coach? Is it Scott Hatterfield? I forget. Because they're doing quite well at Louisville. I can't even think of his name, so that's not helpful.
No, I don't think it's Satterfield.
I'm trying to think who it is. Tell me who it is because I'm sounding like a dummy. People are like, it's this guy. Because they.
Oh, it's Jeff Brom.
Oh, that's right. It's Brom. Brom. Okay. So you have Brom could be a consideration. Maybe Mike Norvell at Florida State. But I think if you look at expectations to reality, it's going to be Barry Odom. But him finding a new job, I'm not putting that in the universe, oh, he'll be gone because this or that. I just think it would have to be a pretty good opportunity. But with the playoff expanding, you could get your team in. Like, there, unless American Chaos is crazy and UNLV wins, they could possibly get that spot. Or if Liberty, if they don't win or they committee doesn't respect the Liberty who plays nobody in Conference USA. I'm sure it's too early to know where he'll go because you got some pretty big job openings. There'll be domino effect out there with A&M open, Mississippi State open, Michigan State's open. So it'll be interesting. I don't know. I'd like to say he'll be back for at least one more year, but you're saying no?
He definitely has to go P5 because he's getting paid almost $2 million.
I do wonder how much money they'll pony up.
So I looked it up because I was curious. He signed a 5-year contract for $9.75 million.
Okay.
So it's just a matter of who's going to pony up. I know they said Chadwell's the leading candidate, but his buyout's full.
Yeah, the buyouts don't matter. If you're going to Big Ten or whatever, Big SEC, it's not going to matter. They will pay it 10 times fold. I do wonder, because he's – Missouri's kind of Big 12, but not. Like, I know Mike Gundy's
– He's 30. There's no way he goes back to Missouri.
No, I'm not saying Missouri. But I'm looking – there were thoughts of Neil Brown. He's probably stick around in the Big 12. Like, the Texas Tech's not going to go away from Jordan McGuire. TCU's coach is safe. Would he go? Like, would it be considered – this would be hilarious. So, oh, my gosh. This would be so funny. Because the Furtado brothers are Vegas and a Houston thing, too. They own the Rockets.
Oh, yeah. If he goes –
takes over for Dana and Houston. Yeah. okay. That would be hilarious. Because, like, he's paid both – like, you know what I mean? Why not go to Baylor, possibly, if that opens up? Because that's a real possibility of Dave Aranda being gone.
It depends on how he feels about Baylor because he's an Oklahoma kid too.
Yeah, that's true. We'll talk about more of this later. I'm literally throwing a few things out there. Not sure what the deal is going on for everything overall, but just kind of think. So I think there'll be a couple more coaches gone, either on their own or not on their own. So
yeah.
All right, we'll be back earlier to figure this out for the preview next week. Maybe by then, you and I, Josh, will have the computer ratings down and know the exact.
Maybe the Mountain West will put out their own thing. Oh, is that too much to ask?
Gloria, come on. Let us see what's going on. Let your comms guys shoot the emails that we need to know for sure what the deal is. But
I mean, the Big 12 has already put theirs out.
They had to change theirs, yeah. So it's not great. So we'll see what happens. But we'll be back in a couple days to preview the final week of the season. Everybody, yeah, we'll see you next time.